Turn your Bible in the book of Luke chapter 24. And I'll read a few verses and I'll preach till I get through and then we'll go home. But in Luke chapter 24. And let's begin tonight in the 24th chapter and the 13th verse. 24 and 13 of Luke. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things, or these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have as you walk and are so sad? I wonder if that's not what God would say to a lot of us. I mean, we look so sad sometimes. We ought to be happy in the Lord. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. Now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that been him which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen the visions of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as they said. Thank God. And verse 25. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures and the thing concerned himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, they said at meat, that he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open. They knew him, and they vanished. He vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures? That reads through verse number 32. And I appreciate the word of God. I take a thought tonight from the last verse that I read. Now, sometimes we have to use a little more reading in order to get the gist of what's being said. And in this last verse, these two disciples said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures. I want to preach for a little bit this evening on this thought of the inward fire. Now, if you've never had it, this will be foreign to you. I mean, this will be strange. But if you've ever had the fire of God burning within, you know where I'm coming from. This fire was burning after Christ began to converse with them and to open to them the scripture. Now, fire in the Bible is an emblem of the Spirit. Fire warms, fire comforts, fire ascends, fire melts, fire hardens, and fire purifies, fire consumes, and on we could go with the type or emblem of the Spirit that fire represents. Now, he did say, if I go away, I will send you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The day God saved you, the Spirit of God took up residence in your heart. He's not a visitor, but he is a permanent resident. And sometimes we just need to let God move in our heart like he wants to. I mean, we just need to be aware of the presence of God. These two disciples said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Now, years ago there was a church in a community, and there was a man in the community that said he was an atheist. He didn't believe in a God. This church caught fire. And this is back when they were using the bucket brigade. They didn't have the equipment, and they used the bucket brigade to put fires out. And so they're passing the bucket through the line, and the fellow looks over, who's a part of that church, and here's this old infidel in line beside of him. And he said, hey, said, I've never seen you here before. And that fellow said, no, and this church had never been on fire before either. Now, you'll get a hold of that after a while. You know, fire attracts more attention. I've never seen anybody following an ice wagon. But I have seen people following fire trucks. I've never seen anybody chase an ice wagon to see where it's going. There was a church in Wills County, it's told, that they were debating and discussing putting in an air conditioner, and the preacher said, it's too cold in this church now. And another fellow spoke up and said, it isn't any wonder we had anything in the pulpit for 20 years but a polar bear. That's a pretty low one. But you know, we need a little fire. And if you're going to have fire in the pulpit, you got to have a little fire in the pew. A lot of people expect the preacher to come fired up and full of vim and vinegar and, you know, all hyped up and ready to go. And they say, boy, he ought to be on fire. But I found out it's hard to build a fire when the Beckett Brigade shows up and they start throwing water on everything you say. But, brother, I didn't come here to make you feel good and to soothe you. I came here to stir something up within it. And Peter said, I will endeavor that you'll be able after my decease to have these things in remembrance. And he said, I write these things that I may stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Amen. I mean, we need to be stirred by the power of Almighty God. Now, let me give you two or three things from this thought that I have this evening on that inward fire. First of all, that fire is kindled by meditation. In Psalm 1, he said, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the river," and so forth. Amen. I mean, he said, he meditates day and night. In Psalm 39 and verse 3, there's a verse that says this: "While I was musing, the fire burned." That word musing is the same word, or has the same meaning as the word meditate. Thank God. I mean, if we'd meditate on the things of God, it'd be amazing how that fire of God would burn within. I mean, these people, when they began to hear the words of God, they got stirred. You remember one time that David had the enemy come against him. He won a victory over him, and he prayed and asked God about going up against him again. And God said, "Go down and get in the mulberry tree." And he said, "You just stay in the mulberry trees until you hear the sound of the going in the mulberry trees, and then thou shalt bestir thyself." Amen. Praise God. If we ever get a little stirring in the bushes, I mean, if we ever get a little moving within, it'll help us. He said, just camp down in the mulberry trees until you hear from me. And it'd be good if we'd just hear from God before we try to do too much. We're either running ahead of God or behind, one or the other. A lot of times, unfortunately. And we get so religious, we feel that it's our obligation to do something right or wrong. And we feel like we're kind of like a squirrel in a cage. A lot of activity and no progress. I mean, we're busy running on the wheels of religion and doing things people expect us to do. But what we need to do is take time to meditate on the things of God. We're in an age now when people don't have a lot of time to meditate. Now, it isn't God's fault that we filled our life with all these things that consume our time. We are totally caught up in this day in things that take all of our time. We have little time to think about God. And somebody said, of a morning, we ought to wake up and say, "Good morning, Lord." Instead of that, we jump up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Amen. Yes, sir. I mean, we jump in the car and go like a maniac, going off to work, blowing the horn to everybody that gets in the way. Hey, you know, I was uptown one day. I saw a bumper sticker on a van. A lady was driving, and it said, "Honk if you love Jesus." Well, I honked. I mean, I love Jesus, so I blew the horn. And when I did, she went, I mean, if you ain't got it, don't display that on your bumper. Amen. I mean, I'm just doing what her sticker said. Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, we're in an age now when people are raging. They, you know, This road rage is out. It's awful in this day. I mean, people want you to get out of the way. They ought to have been there. Hey, this fellow walks in the airport and he said, "Give me a ticket, give me a ticket." And the lady said, "Where to?" And he said, "It don't matter. I've got business everywhere." I mean, no wonder we can't get cranked up much when we don't meditate on the things of God. It is kindled by meditation. Now, you can't have a fire if it isn't kindled. And there needs to be some kindling of that fire. I can remember growing up that we had kindling and we heated with wood and my mother cooked with wood. And it was good, I'll tell you that. I mean, she'd make them biscuits and make your tongue slap your brains out. I'm talking about good stuff. And that's the way we was raised up. Hey, we worked hard. And we were poor and we had a hard life, but we had a good life because we loved God. We'd go to church and we loved each other. And the Lord was the center of our home. Thank God for that. Kindled by meditation. We need to think about that. Now, the second thing about that inward fire, if you ever get that inward fire, it will make the message of God inevitable. In other words, you'll get to a place you can't help but do something, say something about it. Jeremiah, he said in the book of Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, he said, "I'll not make mention of thy name," but he said it was like a fire shut up in my bones and it couldn't stay. Lord God, I wouldn't give you a dime for a preacher that's got to be pumped and primed and begged and paid to preach. I preached when I didn't get anything. I preached when I paid my way. I've done it many times. Now, the Lord's taking care of me. I never made any demand of anybody. I've never asked for a dime of money. And if I had to, I'd pay to get to preach. Amen. But if you ever get a fire shut up in your bones, you're going to have to tell it. The old song in the hymn book says, "I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul. I wrought salvation, made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love that Jesus did impart. Makes me laugh and makes me cry. Sets my happy soul on fire. Hallelujah when God dipped his love in my heart." I mean, I like it when a fella just gets it so good he can't sit down. I mean, I see him at church and they just jump up like popcorn. You know, I saw this lady and this gentleman hop up same time. Hey, that's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they both got that. There's something got in them, and that's good. It makes the message of God inevitable. You got to tell it. Preacher, pastor of a big church, doctors, lawyers, a lot of high-class people in the church. But this fellow preached, you know, he preached good. And he was at church one night, and he had preached about telling people about the Lord. I mean, having that fire shut up and telling people about the Lord. And he had a medical doctor in the church, and he got all enthused that night about telling somebody about the Lord, and he made up his mind that when he went to his office the next morning, the first person that came in as a patient, he was going to tell them about Jesus. Well, had this old fellow came in to get a physical. He gave me an exam, and he said, "Get dressed, and I'll be back in and talk with you." He goes off in another room and prayed and asked God to help him. And he's got one thing. He ain't thinking about that fellow's health. He's thinking about telling about Jesus. And he come back in. That old fellow said, "Doc, how's everything look?" He said, "Are you ready to meet the Lord?" That fellow fainted. Went out cold. He had revival, but you know what? He got saved. I mean, his method might have been a little unorthodox, but it did the job. Amen. Oh, Lord, just tell somebody. You get a fire shut up in your bones, you can't help it. Then the third thing, not only is it kindled by meditation and it makes the message of God inevitable, but the third thing is that Christ came to ignite it. In the book of Luke 12:49, he said, "I'm come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled?" He didn't come to make us solemn and sad. And I can't understand people that saved that think it's supposed to be solemn and sad all the time. Never smile. I mean, if you smile, somebody might think you're happy. I told them, I went to one church. I said, "If y'all are happy, I wish you'd notify your face. Because it hadn't found it out." Amen. I'll tell you what, you walk around smiling and happy, and everybody will wonder what you know on them. Amen. Just be happy. I know the world's in a mess. There's not a thing in God's heaven or earth that I can do about what is going on in this world the way things are, except keep preaching the Word of God. That's all I can do. The Word of God is the most powerful thing there is. And brother, I won't tell you, Christ came to ignite that fire. If I go out of here tonight and get in my automobile, Lord willing, I've got a key in my pocket. It's called an ignition key. I put it in there, and Lord willing, when I activate that, it's going to fire my car, and I'll be able to go back home. Now, I don't have a lot of knowledge about all the parts of I can look under the hood of my car. Now, when I first started driving, we could fix anything with a piece of baling wire and a pair of pliers. Duct tape's the closest thing we got to it now. But I can look under the hood now. I don't know one part from another. I'm honest with you. It takes more than a mechanic. It takes a technician now to work on an automobile. And you think about if that automobile is made so meticulously, think about the psalmist said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Only God can get this whole engine purring like it ought to. God's the only one knows how to give us a spiritual tune-up. Amen. Christ came to ignite this fire. When I was a boy, we had an old Hudson car. Now, if I had it now, it'd be worth money. Back then, it weren't worth a hoot. And that thing wouldn't crank to save your life. You had to push it off or pull it off. It just wouldn't crank. But you could pull it or push it and get it fired. And more than one time, Brother Allen, and I'm telling you the honest truth, we'd go out and get ready to go to church and it wouldn't crank. We'd have to go get the horse or mule out of the barn, put the harness on him, pull it off, get it cranked, unharness the horse, and then get in the car and go to church. You say, "Oh, didn't you smell like a horse?" Probably, but the rest of them smell like pigs, so what's the difference? I mean, but I'm making a point here. You can't run unless you get ignited. There are some people that just get shoved off of a hill, and they as soon as they hit the bottom, it's over. I mean, they have no power to continue when the hills come and the rough places. But brother, I want to tell you, thank God. I'm glad that God Almighty put something in me. I don't have to have somebody to jump start me every Sunday. I don't have to have somebody to push me or pull me or pump me or prime me. I've got something on the inside that makes me want to travel on. Hallelujah. Thank God I've got something on the inside. I remember when we used to have the wood heat, you'd get up of a morning, that heater would be as cold, and it'd be cold in the house. You didn't have to say, is it cold outside? Just poke your head out from under the cover and blow steam. You knew it was cold. Amen. I'm talking from experience. I mean, and we'd get up and open the heater, and you wouldn't see a bit of fire, but if you raked around in there, you would find some coals. And you'd put a little kindling on that, and the first thing you know, that heater would be doing a Chattanooga choo-choo. I mean, but it'd heat up in a hurry. It'd get to going. Why? Because it had to be kindled. And back years ago, when fire was not as convenient as it is now, people used to go and borrow fire from their neighbor. Now, I didn't live in them days. Don't look at me like I'm 250. But I know about these things. I've read about people going and borrowing fire. Their fire would go out and the coals were gone, and they'd go borrow some fire from the neighbor. If I was you and I couldn't get fired up, I'd try to get around somebody that's got a little fire and see if it'd jump off on me. Amen. Amen. Lord God. He came to ignite it. Then closing this evening, divine fellowship brings this. The verse that I read here, verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? They didn't have a bit of fire till he got with them. They didn't have a thing going on but sadness. But when he came, business picked up. Lord God. You know, when God gets in the midst, it's the best thing ever happened. Amen. He came to ignite that fire. Amen. Thank God for that wonderful fire of God on the inside. I remember when I was a boy growing up, I used to get in my daddy's old car, and I'd get under the wheel, sat there and, you know, pretend driving. But the thing about it, I wasn't going anywhere. I was just pretending to drive. But then came the day when my daddy said, how'd you like to drive? I said, would I ever? I could kind of barely reach the pedals. Don't worry about it. We weren't out on a big public road. We had a driveway half mile long. And here I am. And I thought, boy, I knew all about that driving. till when that thing fired up and I popped her down in gear, that's one that had three on the tree, you know. Plus reverse. And I thought, boy, I know how to drive. Daddy said, put it low. I put that thing low gear. I started off, popped the clutch, my toom, 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 toom. You never did do that, do you? Because some of you never been a straight shift in your life. If you had a straight shift, you'd be stranded. In fact, a lady told me yesterday, said I didn't have a way to go yesterday because I can't drive a straight shift. And that's what my husband had and said mine was broke down. But it's different when the fire got in the chambers and it started going. It's real then. Hey, we're not in practice now. This is real deal. Bow your head with me. Thank you, Lord. Your blessings on us. God, thank you for the good meeting we've had, the good Spirit of God. Bless Brother Allen. Lord, bless others, God, that we might magnify the Lord. If there's anybody here lost, I pray they come and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.